Welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. We'll get back to your calls and back into the Falcons Town Hall. Appreciate everybody who's checked in tonight at 404-726-0929. Been a really fascinating conversation about the state of the team now that they've dropped to 4-8, and how close or how far away do you think just a couple of changes this offseason could get them back to where they need to be? We'll get back to that in just a couple of minutes. But I did want to spend just a minute or two here talking with our buddy Caleb Johnson on the Wade4Jock hotline, talking about the Hawks. They are very interesting this season, 13-9. And Caleb, the last time you were on, I asked you about a Trae Young update. And since we last spoke, we got one.
Yeah, it seems like we've got a couple of more weeks before Trae is going to be reevaluated. And as always, you know, it's one of those things you do have to remind people, hey, when these announcements come out and they say a player is going to be reevaluated, that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play. It's the same with the initial 4 weeks that we were given. However, this time around, I think if everything goes as scheduled, and from everything that I have been told, everything is on schedule when it comes to his knee injury, is that Trae could potentially return as soon as the 14th. That was the new game because the Hawks didn't advance in the NBA Cup. They added a couple of games. And so the 14th, the Hawks are taking on the Pistons at home. And so that's a potential opportunity for Trae to come back. They'll play at Charlotte on the 18th. I would assume they wouldn't have him come back at an away game. And then the 19th against the San Antonio Spurs is when the Hawks are back home that week. So one of those two, whether it's the Philly game or the San Antonio game, is around where I would expect. If everything is moving as we've been told, and as the doctors and everyone feels comfortable to have Trae continue on, then he'll be joining a Hawks team right now at a really interesting time, where I think it's going to take quite an adjustment because this team's been playing some really good basketball as of late.
Last couple of games, no Porzingis. Is this all part of the plan, or is this something different? What do we know?
No, it's been a bit odd, quite honestly, because it's tough. You can't make assumptions on things, and the information coming from the Hawks has been very tight-lipped and very general as to dealing with an illness sort of thing. Now, of course, if anyone reads The Athletic, they know about an article that was done on Kristaps Porzingis a few months back, where it was laid out that he has POTS, a syndrome that essentially makes it difficult for someone to stand up. And so sometimes the best method for them to go about living their life is quite literally to lay down. It caused Kristaps to have to change his diet and everything. And so we don't know if this is a continuation of that same illness that he's been dealing with. But regardless, like, the Hawks aren't finding themselves in a position where they're playing super poorly without him. And in fact, it's kind of been noted by a few different people that when Kristaps Porzingis starts games, the Hawks have, so far this season, they've been down by like double-digit points by the time they enter the second quarter. And so, it's one of those, if you want to start the speculation, you could start the speculation of, does Kristaps Porzingis even stick around the entire season? That's kind of getting to the extremes of things going on. But what I would say for the most part right now is that the Hawks are playing good basketball without Kristaps being there. And so I would not be in any hurry to try to rush him from whatever he's dealing with.
Speaking of extremes, let's stay on that lane since you brought up the word. How extreme is it to think that the Hawks front office is very closely monitoring this level of success as the sample size grows bigger, sans Trae Young?
Yeah, I think this was kind of always the curiosity, right? Quite literally, the Hawks opened the possibility of playing without Trae Young when they didn't sign him to an extension in the offseason. And so it gets louder when the team goes on and plays without him and seems to find a form of chemistry amongst one another, even if they, I mean, like, granted, scoring 142 points against the Sixers, you know, in double overtime, you're like, well, Caleb, clearly they're able to score. But I think the rate at which they would like to score and some of the shooting struggles that have popped up do kind of make you think, well, you know, it still feels like they need that offense that Trey brings. The real deciding factor, I think, is going to be what happens between when Trae Young returns and the trade deadline, and figuring out, hey, if Trae comes back and this thing gets worse, then, you know, obviously you can't have that, especially as a guy like Jalen Johnson has just been absolutely surging and really kind of running with being the face of this team without Trae Young being there. And so I don't think it's extreme necessarily to think that, you know, the Hawks are evaluating a life without Trae Young, but I wouldn't be too quick just yet, because you know, if Trae is able to return and gel with what is being built right now, then that turns into a, you know, a scary good team that could be competitive with the Knicks and the Pistons. You know, I mean, because you're down as many players as you were a night ago, and you lose by one to the Pistons. Like, there was a lot of things that Detroit obviously did wrong in that game and probably, like, should have lost because of those things. But I still, it's not enough to not think that, you know, this Hawks team could be competitive come postseason time.
Talking all things Hawks and NBA with our buddy Caleb Johnson, Hawks Insider. Make sure you check out the podcast wherever you get your podcast as well, for your, if not weekly, daily dose of Hawks basketball and NBA talk. Just 4-4 at home. Speaking of sample size questions, anything to that, or do we need to get a bigger sample size first?
You know, it's kind of been weird. You would think that – now, granted, we'll say this. From the 4-4 that they have, you know, from the 8 games that they played at home, they haven't really gotten any home stands. It's not like the Hawks have been in town for days on end and have been able to get any form of consistency. And so far, I would say, you know, it feels like the majority of the season has been on the road. And in fact, Quinn Snyder has mentioned it a couple of times where, even when they're home, you don't really have enough time to unpack your bags before you're in a new city. Like, they've been doing so much of play a game, travel the next day, play the next day, travel the next, you know, kind of thing, that I believe in the month of November, they played 15 games in 30 days, and 3 of those days in the month of November, they weren't traveling or playing a game. So, that's the one good thing that's really kind of come out of this beginning stretch, is there would have been a really easy sign to point to if the Hawks had struggled coming out of the gate to be like, well, they don't have Trae Young, Kristaps Porzingis hasn't played a lot of games, and they've had to travel a ton. And yet, I mean, you know, coming out and having a 13-9 record, like, is pretty honorable, I think, to this point in the season, when you know some long home stretches are coming, especially right around like Christmas time and the new year. It should be really beneficial for them.
Speaking of where they stand right now, are you surprised by the way that Miami is playing in a positive direction, or more that Orlando hasn't been more dominant in the division so far?
I called Orlando not being a dominant team in the East. Like, I just, you can't have a team that is as offensively inept as the Magic were a season ago, add one shooter and also, like, lose a point guard that I think, and Cole Anthony, that I thought added a lot to this team, and just think you're going to play better. You know, obviously, like, they've dealt with their own injuries as well, whether it's Franz, whether it's Paolo, kind of being in and out of the lineup, but I just didn't think that Desmond Bane was going to be that big of a swing. I think the biggest surprise has got to be who the Hawks played on opening night, when, like, that Raptors team was a team coming into the year that I was like, man, I mean, who knows what they're going to be, because it's felt like they're just a collection of parts. And, well, that collection of parts has figured out how to play with each other pretty well, to the tune of, you know, being a top four team in the Eastern Conference. And so for Toronto to be up there, far more surprising than I think Miami, because I just think Miami's a really good coach team, and probably will come back down to earth at a later point. But, you know, it's kind of interesting to see how this Eastern Conference has shaken out so far.
Before I let you go, we know you're on the dog's beat for us as well, going to the games, getting all the sound, doing all the dirty work. So let's have some final context here. What do you think happens on Saturday at Mercedes-Benz?
Look, I think Alabama has had Georgia's number time after time after time. I am curious because I do think Kirby has done a good job at, hey, you know, you get us in the regular season and we'll find a way in the postseason. You know, just getting that second opportunity against the team, I think Kirby has always done a very good job at game planning and figuring out little things. I just think this Georgia football team is far better at this point than they were. Well, it was like week four, I believe, of the college football season when they played Alabama and lost by 3 points. And, you know, clearly the Bama that we saw, like it's a rivalry game, but I would say the rivalry game that the Iron Bowl was this year was far closer than the rivalry game in clean old fashioned hate that Georgia was playing against Georgia Tech, where it seemed very clear that Kirby was like, hey, we just want to run the clock out and get out of here with a win, and move on and try to be as healthy as possible. I have a hard time picking against Alabama when these two teams play each other, but I always enjoy, you know, being pleasantly surprised, and do have faith in a Kirby Smart coached team, you know, playing someone for the second time in a season.
Caleb, appreciate it. As always, we'll check out the pod and we'll talk soon.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
All right. That is our very own Caleb Johnson, Hawks insider, and slipping in a little Georgia question as well. When we get back, we'll continue the Falcons conversation, 404-726-0929. We'll also hear from Jalen Walker as he stopped by the midday show from the Children's Hospital. Really cool thing that Andy and Randy did. So we'll let you hear that conversation as well, as they were joined by a special guest. All that more coming up in a busy, busy 8 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight. Back with you here on 92.9 The Game. Appreciate everybody who's checked in so far on our Falcons Town Hall. State of this team right now. And also, are they closer to a rebuild or are they closer to competing? We'll get back to that in just a couple of minutes. Right now, I did want you to hear a conversation. Jalen Walker stopped by the midday show. They were at the Children's Hospital of Atlanta. And a really, really cool day here on the station, where we get to broadcast from there. So if you missed that conversation, I wanted to bring it back to you as Jalen Walker stopped by along with a very special guest.
Very, very happy to have Jalen Walker with us here on the show. And Liam is here as well. 10-year-old Liam in his Grinch pajamas, looking awesome.
Yes.
Hanging out with us also. How are you, Liam?
Good.
Yes, Liam is sitting here chilling in. Like I said, he got the awesome PJs on.
Yeah.
He has a secret Santa guy that he got to sign. He got him today.
Uh-huh.
He's got to give him a lot of love, right? Am I right, Liam? And then he magically goes away, right?
I'm actually 9.
Oh, 9. Sorry about that.
Oh,
sorry about that.
My bad.
We
don't want to age you like that.
That is rule number one with kids. Don't say the wrong age.
We don't want to age you, right? We don't
want to age you.
We don't want to age nobody around here.
9 and a half, maybe? Like, are we getting close to 10?
No, my birthday was last October.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we're not even close to 10.
Yeah, man.
Happy belated birthday.
Yeah, October 16th.
There you go. Mm. Yeah. Well, he's right between mama, my wife, and my son. So, yeah.
My stepmom's birthday is October 15th.
There we go, man. There we go, man. So, Lim, because we were asking Lim, and we were getting Lim likes baseball, right? Braves your favorite team?
Yes.
Okay. Then we asked you your favorite football team. And then I said, Georgia. And he gave me a look like,
I don't think
and then he looked at mom. He looked at mom. I looked back there at mom. Mom makes a face. I'm like, oh. Well, what team do you root for? So, you're a Tennessee fan. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. You got two Bulldogs right here, so we'll forgive you for that right there. All right,
I'll let you slide.
We'll let that slide right now, man. Because we don't want no problems.
Well,
with
beat Tennessee every time you played them.
Yeah, I'm 3-0 against Tennessee.
And you hobnail booted them. So yes. I think you guys are fine.
We're pretty good on there. But Jalen, how you been, man? How has the first year? Because I think we talked to him after the draft. I believe so. I think we talked about that. How is it? The transition going for you, brother.
Yeah, it's been a transition, getting adjusted to my first year in the league, making that leap from college to the NFL now. You go through those growing pains, you go through those adjustments, and, I feel like I went through them well and having a good, successful year for right now.
I would say so. Dealt with some injury a little bit earlier in the year. How are we feeling at this point?
Yeah, I feel good. We're going to that back half of the season, so we're just, holding up, playing the best football we can.
Okay.
I got one question, because you've been doing this since Georgia. Where did the celebration thing come from? Where the walk with the arms?
That's the last name. The Walker. It's always been a running joke.
Uh-huh.
It's me and my dad. Little incident back in elementary school. But the walk. I've been doing it since college, and that's just been my swagger.
Okay.
What was the incident? I mean, I'm interested now.
Yeah, it was just a scenario. I told one of the guys, my last name's Walker. I'm good to walk. So we just, it runs from there. So.
Okay. All right. Because I was like, is he still did that? Because he did a whole lot in Austin.
Yes.
In Austin, I was like, yeah.
We saw a lot of that. Well, we've seen a lot this year, too, which we're happy to say. Now, one of the fun things about this day being here and getting to talk to you guys and having the kids be a part of the show is the kids have questions, too. And I know Liam has some questions that he wants to ask. So the floor is yours, my friend.
What's your favorite food?
My favorite food is chicken. I can't eat chicken any time of the day. Lunch, dinner, breakfast if I could.
Does it matter what kind? Is it fried?
Grilled? I try to be better, in life now. So I go a little baked chicken, grilled chicken in there. So.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, okay. Bone in, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No chicken nuggets.
Right here, my man. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, Jalen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, man.
A boneless chicken wing is just a chicken nugget.
Yeah, it's a chicken tender, chicken nugget, whatever you want to say.
It's all this.
All right, Bulldog. We good now.
Yeah, we already.
We good right now. What else you got, Liam?
What's your favorite song?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, man.
Well, I've been here all, this morning at the Children's Hospital singing Christmas carols with some of my teammates. So right now, I guess it has to be Jingle Bell Rock.
Jingle Bell Rock,
yeah,
okay.
We performed that a couple times upstairs, so I feel like that's our number one hit single right now.
Are you leading the pack when it comes to this?
Yeah, we try to make a good group collective effort when it gets to coming and singing, so.
Nathan Carter had the baritone.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He took over upstairs. So he took over.
Is he trying to outshine everybody?
He's trying to.
Yeah, he's trying to outshine. Liam, what is your favorite Christmas song?
Let it snow.
Oh, hold on. What version? Well, I probably don't know that. Boys the Men version.
It's the real one.
The real one.
The real
one. That's the one he likes. Okay. We try to tell him his.
I tried to put it. The Boys the Men.
What's
right?
your favorite Christmas song?
Oh man, my favorite Christmas song is the song that plays one times a Christmas Eve. Temptation, Silent Night. I mean, it's just
hard to beat.
It's on repeat. And then Stevie Wonder.
This Christmas,
yeah.
Not this Christmas though. He's got a whole catalog. Oh my gosh, it's driving me crazy. I'll get to this.
Okay.
Thing. Yeah.
I like Ray Charles.
Oh, Anahí.
Oh, is it Ave Maria or something? No, that's not it. I don't know what that's called. Ave Maria.
Maria? But listen to it. How Stevie sang it, man.
No, it sounded
Stevie sang it. Woo, boy.
You sounded a lot like Stevie. But not blind. You sounded like deaf Stevie.
Yeah, let me tell you something, man. Y'all think Steve blind. I mean, won't you? They say Steve is a hell of an air hockey player. But
because I know you guys, we were talking when Jalen sat down that you guys had sung Jingle Bells, Jingle Bell Rock. Santa Claus is coming to town, right, and a bunch of different stuff. And you guys got the cool Christmas light necklaces
we're
and all that.
To,
the Santa hat.
With Santa hats, yeah. The LED bulb lights on our neck, jerseys, repping. So we're prepared.
What's the decoration situation like at your house?
Right. So my mom was down maybe 2 weeks ago. So, of course, I got the decorations. We got the trees. We got the ornaments. We got the garland, lights on the house. I feel like we're pretty festive this year.
Good.
Are you gonna like leave it up, like after Christmas?
Oh no! We take it down.
Y'all take it right down after.
I'm taking it.
When does it have to be down by?
Let it go through New Year. Yep. That's about when you take it down. About that time, that first 2 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Liam, Christmas is coming up. Now tell us this: what is on Liam's Christmas list? Huh? What do you want for Christmas?
You know how this guy?
Yeah, I like it.
They have elf pets.
Elf pets?
Oh, I already got one upstairs, so I need two more.
What kind of pet does he have?
They have, like, a reindeer.
That makes sense.
An Arctic fox, and, what's that other puppy's name?
Like a polar bear, maybe? Oh, a dog. Oh, it's got a dog. Okay.
Nice.
Because he's sitting here. He's got the elf on the shelf.
Yes.
There.
The elf on the shelf.
Yeah.
Still don't know what or when it came to
whatever beautiful person thought of it,
man, did not have kids. that is a single person thing right there.
What animal do you have? You have the reindeer already?
Yes.
Okay. And you're looking for the Arctic fox.
And the dog.
And the dog.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Do you wanna ask Jalen another question?
Sure. What's your favorite dance move?
Ooh.
Great question.
He's proud of himself on that one.
That's a good one right there.
That's a good one.
Man, dance move. I don't know. You got to give me a dance move so I can hit it during the game once I get a sack, man. I don't know.
What?
Moonwalk?
Ooh, the moonwalk. With cleats?
That's hard.
That's hard.
That's
a long day. That's a hard one
right there. When you think about the cleats.
You know,
part,
I might be able to hit the moonwalk with my socks, but you know, that's not on the field, man. Those cleats gonna get me stuck in the ground, man. What's your favorite dance move?
It belongs to Michael Jackson.
What's a good place to start?
Okay,
it's the moonwalk.
Okay,
so it's the moonwalk. So you like the moonwalk.
Yes.
Oh, that's why you wanted to put it out there. Okay.
Okay.
So is Michael Jackson your favorite artist?
Yes.
What's your favorite song?
It's called In the Closet. I'm pretty sure you don't heard that one.
You don't think? Well, hold on, man. What are you trying to play over here, man? I love Michael Jackson, man. You're nine. Make sure we get that. Nine, I got the coolest Michael Jackson action figure ever, man. So I love me some Michael Jackson.
I have like 30 stuff of him.
You got Michael Jackson stuff too? Oh, man, yeah. Liam, if we weren't cool before, we are all the way cool now, my brother.
I already got 30 Michael Jackson dolls.
We cool, man. You mean you cool? Boy, you cool in the fan with me, man.
I think it's four.
Uh-huh. Oh, he can't keep count.
I think I got four dolls.
Jackson 5 has some good Christmas songs too.
Yes, they do, actually. Yes, they do. When Michael was tempted.
Young.
Yeah, young and tempted. Yes. When he was young and tempted and all those things. So, Jalen, obviously the season, team-wise, win-wise, it's not going away. But how are the spirits? I mean, because, again, it's still professional. You still get to go out. You still have a job to do and everything like that. Coming off a disappointing trip up to New York City and everything like that, obviously got to get ready for a big opponent. Your mindset, just dude, I'm talking about you yourself, trying to go finish off the season strong.
Right, you know, we just got to keep pushing forward. We still got weeks to go and left in the season. And you never know within our conference, within the league. You never know what happened, might happen. We might slip here, slip there. But being in a competitive league, you see competitive teams everywhere, you know, and it's just what we have to endure and what we play in. But, you know, my mindset going forward, you know, is just to keep balling, making sure that we keep putting that first foot forward, striving for excellence.
I know we're going to get a chance to talk to Xavier Watts in a little bit as well. A lot of young, I mean, rookie and second-year talent on that defense.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you know, we mentioned the fact that the record isn't where you want it to be, but there has to be optimism about the future of that side of the ball with all the young guys.
Right. I feel like, you know, with the group we have, the rookie class, you know, my class, you know, I feel like we've done a great job, you know, being demonstrative in what we're doing, you know, having that best foot forward, you know, that translation from college over to the league, you know, it's great to see, and, you know, the success that all of us are having, you know, it's just great to have.
Now, last one for me, because Liam, him and his family, they are Tennessee fans. Okay. There is another classmate of yours, came in the same round, that is a Tennessee Volunteer.
Yes.
Is there a competition to get to the quarterback?
Of course. You know, there's always that competitive nature within the whole room, within the whole defense, the whole D-line. We're all hunting.
But, you know, I mean, that's your brother.
Right.
You love him. All right, y'all are definitely the future of that position here in Atlanta.
Yeah, no doubt.
But he got you by one.
We won 2 combo.
Yeah, he got you by one set.
Five.
No, we're
left.
Tied. We're 5-5.
We're 5-5.
Okay. Okay. I was gonna see if you missed.
Okay. Right. Okay. Well, there's five games left.
Yeah, okay.
There's 5 games left.
Yeah,
there's plenty of time to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, just
what happens Saturday, do you think?
Saturday? Oh, for the dogs? Mm-hmm. Oh, is he take care of business.
Damn right, Bunk.
Great stuff there from Jalen Walker and the kids over at CHOA. Just a really, really special day every single year that we get to do here as a radio station. So definitely wanted you to hear from Jalen Walker and the youngsters as well. When we get back, we're going to hear from Big O. We've been so busy that he has not had a chance to chime in on today's proceedings. So we'll do just that with a producer six-pack to close out the 8 o'clock hour and more Falcons coverage, of course, coming your way before we get out of here at 10 o'clock. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Welcome back into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. We will get back into college football and NFL conversation coming up in a busy, busy final and fourth 9 o'clock hour coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Big O, before we get to your producer six-pack, how was your Thanksgiving with the multiple young ones getting in the mix?
So we had one Franklin who was getting over a stomach bug. So that was interesting in itself because anytime he ate, it just didn't usually end well. And on a day that was so dedicated to just eating good food, and he knew all the food that was going to be around. As a matter of fact, he woke up Thursday morning already talking about mac and cheese.
Ooh.
Mac and cheese. What mac and cheese? What mac and cheese? He found out he's a big fan of cornbread. And my wife's dad made a pan of cornbread stuffing. So that has cornbread in it. I want some of that too. I want turkey. I want ham. So I was able to sort of make sure that he didn't overeat, I guess, to a point where it could have gotten really bad. But we hosted this year in our new house, which was cool.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hosted.
How stressful was that?
Not as I thought it would be. But I learned the cool thing about hosting Thanksgiving is that if people bring food over to your house,
it stays with you.
It stays with you. So we had a lot of leftovers, which I was especially grateful for Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, and into Saturday. So
the best thing that we do, I was up in Canton with the Divine family. Shout out, as always. My girlfriend came.
Has she been up there with them before?
Yeah, she had been up there before. So my girlfriend came for the majority of the weekend. My dad was down from New Jersey. My favorite thing, though, is Friday lunchtime. Todd breaks out the panini press.
Oh, my gosh.
And we
Thanksgiving
do
sandwiches.
Thanksgiving panini press sandwiches.
Just
so
leftovers
good.
Of everything just mixed together.
So good.
Mine wasn't as much a panini as it was just me just taking various foods and just throwing them in a Tupperware container and then just mixing them all together and just lathering it all with gravy.
Yeah,
gravy. Throwing it in a microwave. So pretty much the Thanksgiving sandwich just minus the 2 slices of bread.
It was like the bowl. It's like
Thanksgiving bowl.
Thanksgiving bowl.
Yeah, Chipotle.
Yeah,
get on
Chipotle,
that.
Chipotle, it's either burrito, a bowl,
Kidubo,
a panini
Kidubo,
press.
Yeah.
Quidobo, Quiznos.
Everybody get on that one.
Yeah, whatever makes it go. All right, cool. Good stuff, man. Let's get to a six-pack.
All righty, sir. We're going to start here with the Falcons. We had Jalen Walker just played his interview on with Andy and Randy. James Pierce now, I guess, has jumped him in the sack total. They talked about how competitive they are with each other in terms of getting sacks. But let's take both of those guys because they are crown jewels right now of the Falcons' first-rounders from last year and having great rookie seasons. They will be Pro Bowlers by the time we hit the year 2027.
Yeah, I think if we were doing true or false, I'd do true on this one. I think there's a chance that James Pierce Jr., if he finishes the season strong, he could be a Pro Bowler this year. I really believe that. He's having a – because Jalen Walker, oh, it's just a little tougher to, like, gauge because he's so versatile.
He does a lot. They line him up on a lot of different places.
So I think James Pierce Jr., just from a pure numbers standpoint, probably is going to be that guy. But by this time next year, definitely. I mean, we were talking the whole show in the Falcons Town Hall about what do you hang your hat on? And those two guys are definitely, you know, if not the main reason, certainly in the forefront of what you're excited about for years to come. Now, the unfortunate thing is I tweeted this out, the other day, the latest Tankathon ratings.
Oh, doop, doop, doop.
Falcons are picking in the top 10 right now.
No, the Rams are picking in the top 10.
That's what I mean. Like, and the Falcons don't have their first-round picks.
So they do not.
So that means that if you did want to potentially see if there was something you wanted to do about a challenger for Michael Penix Jr., not so much.
That's the detriment, I guess, too, of I understand that our first-round picks right now, but part of the reason, or I guess part of the enticement, if you will, of not finishing a season well is that you get to pick in that top half of the draft, and that's where all that talent is, you know. So
they will not pick until the second round. Unless, like some of our callers brought up,
blow it up, man.
Yeah, you do the unthinkable. A Bijan Robinson trade or a Drake London trade or a Chris Lindstrom trade.
Fire sale it. Fire sale.
Exactly, Mike. Oh,
yeah, we're going to have to get rid of everybody.
Me and Mike Bell on Friday, baby. If you missed it, I'll be with him at Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
Can talk all about that fire sale.
We're getting the band back together, and the hot takes will be. You won't even be able to handle
choo,
it.
Choo, 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 choo.
Orin,
choo,
have that dumb
choo,
button
choo,
ready.
Choo. Oh, it's just going to be hovering the entire time.
Hovering
the entire time.
Hovering.
All right, sir. We had the latest round of CFP rankings this evening.
Sure did, and they only dragged it out for like an hour and a half.
Yeah, you know, as we get closer to the actual CFP selection, it'll get longer and longer and longer. And have his own little pre-NFL pre-show, I guess, that Sunday after the next Sunday. There you go. Yeah,
it's so obnoxious.
It really
just
it's
give
a lot.
Me the just I don't rankings. Need don't need it, man. But anyway.
You know, I'll take a jilted, maybe one or two jilted coaches, but I don't need to hear from the committee because at this point we don't.
And the two that they've had this year are just
the criteria that they use to select with at this point. Like nobody understands it anyway. So why just have somebody come on a TV and confuse us? You know, any further?
Yeah. So you have Alabama sitting behind Oklahoma, rightfully,
yes,
but then
do.
You have Miami behind Notre Dame, even though they beat
which
them
brings me
head.
My next question
hey
here,
now.
Sir.
Hey.
We have possible chaos that can occur this weekend. Let's say, for instance, BYU, I don't know, they beat Texas Tech.
And they're going to retain their coach, by the way.
Yeah, keeping their coach, they beat Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. And when
which
they
I
do
don't
that.
I don't think will happen.
No, probably not. Yeah. But I think in this scenario, this maybe works for if BYU wins or if BYU loses. Because if you notice, sandwiched in between, above and below, if that was the bread, the two slices of bread, the sandwich, are Notre Dame at 10 and Miami at 12, setting up for the possibility that whatever happens to BYU and they're no longer number 11 come next Sunday, Notre Dame and Miami will be smack dab next to each other. And the committee has long favored, even in their confusing methods and all the other stuff of picking teams, the head-to-head matchups, they definitely will put a team above another team. Miami beat Notre Dame this year. So if it comes down to it, and next Sunday we're looking at Notre Dame and Miami and no BYU in between, does the committee go ahead and put Miami up and put them into the CFP?
Well, here's the question, Horn. Who's your G5 rep or G4 rep or whatever you want to call it?
That's another, yeah.
Who's your G5 rep?
Right now it's looking
is it
at
James
James
Madison.
Yeah, James Madison.
Because they would
man.
Be an 11-1 conference champion, and I think their only loss to the season is to Louisville. Who also Miami lost to, by the way.
This is correct. That common opponent.
That makes things even more interesting. Is it going to be North Texas? So that to me is the real wild card of this whole thing. Because if you put BYU in there, then not only will one of Notre Dame or Miami not make it, there's a chance they could both not make it if the group of five gets slid in there at 12. If you're talking about BYU at 11, then the group of five team is going to be 12. So it could be bad news for both of the bad news bears for both of those teams.
Another scenario that could occur here, sir. We have Virginia representing one half of the ACC championship and 7-win Duke.
Oh, God.
In the other half of that ACC championship
game. They're not getting it.
That's the question. Next question. Yeah, if Duke wins, does the ACC then get shut out in terms of an automatic qualify or an automatic bid in the CFP?
I mean, I don't see how you could justify that.
You can't do that, right?
You can't do it. And that's why this thing is so dumb. Because here's my scenario. Are we ever going to get to a point with amount of teams getting in where this doesn't matter? Like, this is not a – this no longer, Oren, is a thing. I think the answer is no. I think they're always going to find a way to have some kind of calamity of errors occurring as they try to make the final selection. We saw it with 4. Now we're going to see it with 12. Will we see it again with 16? Probably. So – what's the point, Oren?
There's always going to be one team or two teams, no matter how much you expand this thing, that are going to feel slighted. You take this thing to 16 teams, 18 and 19 are going to be sitting there like, hey, we have quality wins. Why aren't we getting in? What's the criteria now for us to not get in? And you expanded this thing. So the whole expansion thing, so to speak, is it's its own worst enemy, I guess. The more you expand, the more teams feel left out. All right. Staying with college football here, sir. Is Gunnar Stockton a Heisman finalist this year?
I think that last game didn't help.
It did. He's got one more chance, though, so
yeah.
to speak.
No. No. Fernando Mendoza.
It's like Fernando.
Jeremiah Love.
And Julian Sand and those guys. And maybe Diego Pavia goes.
Dante Moore.
I don't think Dante goes. I think they'll
Ty Simpson?
Maybe, but I it depends on what happens with Saturday
Ty
on
Simpson's
time.
Ty Simpson's got over 3,000 yards and 25 touchdowns.
I think this is one of those years, though, that
Carson
that
Beck?
They don't let the – there's such a gap, I think, between the top four and the fifth. So it's only four that's going to be there.
I think it's – so if it's four, it's Mendoza, it's Sain, it's Love, and – Ty Simpson. I think those are probably the four. Okay. I think. If you don't want to go Dante Moore, okay. I would think. I think Gunner's close, but I don't think there's a couple. He's had a couple of stinkers this year.
He has.
And I think it may be one too many.
Just at the wrong times. Okay. You mentioned earlier, sir, an ESPN article
yeah.
that dealt with top 25 trade candidates.
Sure did.
This offseason in Major League Baseball. Number one on that list, of course, Tarik Skubal. No idea if he does get traded, but he is the top candidate if he does get traded. You ventured on that list a little bit, you see a very curious name, one of the Minnesota Twins outfielder, Byron Buxton. Byron, a Georgia native, just entering into year 31, has begun to not only play more games per season now, staying a little bit more healthy, but that bat that is was supposed to be the big thing for him coming out, become a bit more pronounced now, become a bit more of a power hitter. The plate discipline is sort of hit or miss, but it's gotten a little bit better, I think, the last few years. But one of the teams that ESPN listed as a possible landing spot for Byron, the Atlanta Braves. Do the Braves have the capital and the gumption, sir, to get a trade done for a guy who, ooh, is at a position of need right now, Byron Buxton?
What's the leash on Harris? If you bring in Buxton, I mean,
you're not going to move Buxton to a corner.
I mean, what are you doing with Profar? You got him for another year.
That's also true.
You're going to put Ronnie as a, and I'm for this idea to preserve him.
Kind of go back and forth with Ronnie and partial DH with Ronnie and Byron, kind of going back and forth because that preserves Byron too. You know, his health.
He's under control for I think the next 3 years at $15 million a year. It's not a huge financial burden. Yeah, I would certainly do it. What's the cost?
That's the thing, too. Now, $15 million per from a dollar standpoint is not bad, but it's an issue of you don't have a lot of capital right now in the minor leagues. And the capital you do have is guys that you might be counting on next year to fill spots. Like, I don't know, potential pitchers that you could get rid of.
He's $15 million a year for the next 3 years, and then he's an unrestricted free agent in 2029. $15 million a year, 31 years old, ascending. Why not? I mean, do you think it would cost Hurston Waldrop?
At least.
Maybe not then, because we need him so badly.
And then maybe one of those two shortstops you took in the first round of last year's Major League Baseball draft.
Would they take Grant Holmes?
I'd love them to take Grant Holmes.
Because they may be shopping one of their starting pitchers is on the block, too. He was on the same list. The former Miami Marlin.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Pablo Lopez, yeah. So if they're looking to move, hey, can we do a package deal?
Just
Pablo Lopez and Byron Buxton for Hurston Waldrop?
I would love for that to be the case. I think that some Minnesota people might object to that, but hey, you know, bring them on over.
They don't spend. Minnesota is who they are. They don't spend.
Yeah.
They spend half the season in first place, and then they fall apart. That's what they do every single year.
All right, we got time for one more here. Weekend plans, sir.
Yes, sir. We'll be seeing Zootopia 2
this
weekend.
Excited Heard good things
that.
About
yeah,
that.
Broke records for
a lot of money
opening weekend. Excited to do that. May got something in the works for y'all on Saturday. I'll announce that if and when appropriate. So stay tuned for that, a little teaser-rooney. And then, of course, we got Falcons on Sunday. So a nice busy weekend of college and pro football with a little movies in between. Great job, as always, on the six-pack. Coming back. Let's dive further into these college playoff situations, plus more on Jared Curtis making his flip official. Our buddy Joe DeLeon and Izzy Sports joins us next. Also, you'll hear from Joe Patrick in a busy, busy final hour. Falcons and college football to close out the show.